so we pray right now, Lord, as we come before you, we ask that you will give us ears to hear from your word. May your Holy Spirit, who inspired your word, inspire our hearts now. And so, Father, give us attentive ears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a strange phenomena taking place when people buy new products, such as a smartphone, and they videotape themselves opening the package and then taking the items out one by one, as if they're tasting every single morsel of their new gadget. And then they post their experience on YouTube with the title, Unboxing Your iPhone, or Unboxing Your Drone, where it may be. And total strangers watch these videos, watching someone else slowly unpack their package. When I get a package, I open it up before the delivery man's out of the driveway. I want what's inside. I want the goods. I don't want the packaging. But there is one thing I open very slowly. And I think that one thing that we looked at last week, there's one thing worth unboxing. And that's the package that God has given to us. I don't know if you've ever found in your unpacking, you've left some good things behind near the styrofoam or underneath something, and you think, oh, I can't find it. Last week, we saw how the apostle praised God for giving us every spiritual blessing. And then he named those blessings. He chose us, he called us, he predestined us, he'd forgiven our sins, he adopted us as children. He lavished on us wisdom and understanding, and then he gave us his Holy Spirit as a guarantee, an inheritance. Certainly, it's worth ensuring we haven't missed anything of God's precious gift. The Apostle Paul is just as excited when he hears of anyone else receiving this package. Oh, he gets so excited. Now he realizes they will ponder on the same blessings that he has. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you, says Paul. I remember you in my prayers. He's excited for them. They've heard the gospel. They've received the package. And Paul says it's going to blow your mind. No wonder it says, heaven rejoices when one person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul knows this faith is a genuine faith. For they not only heard the truth, but their truth was evidenced by love for the people of God. You see, the Bible makes it very clear. It says, how can we say we love God whom we don't see and disregard the people of God whom we do see? John says, if we claim to love God and not love God's people, we are fooling ourselves and the truth is not in us. We can't pick and choose, oh, I love God, but I don't love people. See, if we do not seek to impact God's church, God's people, with the gift that God has given to us, we're fooling ourselves. For when God changes our heart, he also changes our focus and our direction. He causes us to love people as he loves. And this transformation we see is taking place in the Ephesian church. And it's such an encouragement to Paul as he hears about them. Faith in the Lord Jesus is simply the beginning of the journey and not the end of the journey. Yeah, Paul is excited about their faith. But he tells them in verse 17, he is praying for them that they may be spiritually mature. He wants them to thrive and not just to maintain. Sadly, there are many people who are still the same spiritually today as they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The writer of Hebrews says, you ought to be teachers by now, and yet you need to be taught the ABCs all over again. Such people profess faith, but they do not hunger. They do not thirst for righteousness. And so the Apostle Paul says there are three things that he prays for as these people come to faith. And these prayers that we look at are great prayers for us to consider. The first is verse 17, where Paul prays, they may know God better. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of understanding and revelation so that you may know him better. To get to know God better is not simply a desire for head knowledge. It's not to learn about God. It's not simply to know the correct doctrine or understanding the deep mysteries of the faith. It's the joy of knowing the Lord who made us, the one who redeemed us, the one who called us into his family, to delight in his presence as Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, delighting in his word. Knowing this living God naturally leads to the transformation of God's people. It is this transformation that makes us a better husband or a better wife. It's this that makes us a better son or daughter, father or mother. It is this transformation that will cause people to seek the very best for those they care about. And the very best is always found in God himself. The NASA space program costs billions of dollars each year as they search into space. The Brookings Institute is a think tank of bright people. They list four reasons for space exploration. Four reasons. One is to advance science. Two, space mining. Three, space tourism. But it's number four that's really interesting. Number four is the main reason they spend billions of dollars for the desire to understand our origin and identity. And at the beginning of every expedition, there's this hope. We hope that we can find our roots, our origin. But there is another area where more money is spent than even NASA, and it's in the psychic industry. In the US alone, there are 85,000 people who work in the psychic industry, which is worth billions and billions of dollars each year. And once again, yeah, we search in the outer space for our identity. We search in the mystical areas. Because having rejected our Creator, we still seek answers. We still want to know what is our purpose. But there is a strong pull inside every man and every woman, a pull for our identity. The Bible tells us God has created every person and he has placed eternity in your heart. And that eternity is constantly pulling you towards God. And yet when we've rejected God, we seek it in things, in people. But here's the truth, no matter what we achieve, no matter what we accomplish or acquire in this world, there'll always be that void, that emptiness, speaking, saying, it's still missing, you haven't got it. C.S. Lewis puts it this way, if there is nothing in this world that can satisfy my emptiness, it means that I'm made for something else, I'm made for another world that only God can satisfy. And so Paul prays that we might get to know God better because he is our creator. And if we are in Christ, he is also our redeemer, our savior, our Lord. He is the source of every blessing. Don't you want to get to know him better? Many people seek contentment through success, or they seek it through financial security, worldly accolades and approval, not realizing that even if they achieve their goal, they will still be very, very disappointed. Previously, we were dead to God and deaf to his voice. But the Spirit of God gives life. And we begin to hear clearly, we see clearly. We begin to hear and respond to the God of heaven. You know, scientists have discovered that blue whales, previously thought to be mute, actually have extremely powerful voices. Their calls resonate at a frequency that is way low below our what we can hear. But now with modern instruments, scientists have found that the blue whale's call is so powerful, it can carry over thousands of kilometres. Imagine that. Without a satellite phone, a whale can call someone from Sydney to Brisbane and be heard. This amazing power has always been present, but it was undetected because until recently our senses were too dull to limit it. The apostle shows that the heart, made sensitive by the Holy Spirit, begins to hear and to see the blessings of God that the Lord has given to his people. Spiritual wisdom and revelation, verse 17, is a two-way communication between God and his people. So Paul prays that you may know God better, for in him we find our identity, our purpose, and our hope, and our security. Paul's second prayer is that we may know the hope that God has called us to, the riches of his glorious inheritance given to you. The Apostle Paul saw everything in light of God's sovereignty. Paul suffered more than anyone else, yet he says in Romans 8, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. If there's anyone who had a good reason to complain and whinge about his unfair treatment, Paul did. But he was fully aware of the hope that God had called him to. And that was the context he understood everything in life. To our natural eyes, the things we see around us, our house, our car, our money, our possessions, they are the real things we say. They're the things that matter. But there are times when God's blessings, his inheritance given to us, even the relationship with the Lord, they seem unreal, intangible. What good is my spiritual inheritance, said Esau, when I'm starving with hunger, it's useless. So Paul prays for the eyes of your heart to be opened. He is praying for spiritual insight. No longer led by your gut feeling. No longer led by the collective wisdom of this world. No longer led by the basic desires of what the world tells us is now necessary and essential. Led instead by the Spirit, by the Lord who gives wisdom. Led by the Word of God, which is a light to our feet. What does it mean to have our eyes opened spiritually? It's to have the spiritual insight to trust God's word, even when the world tells us we're being foolish. Your friend, your neighbour, your spouse, your children, they may think you're a bit of an odd one putting your faith in Jesus. But to have spiritual insight says you trust the Lord above all things. Don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus says to Jairus, when Jairus heard that his daughter had died, don't follow your natural instincts, Jairus, trust me. Wow, what a call. I tell you the truth, Jesus says to the thief on the cross, who only had a few hours to live. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Trust me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, says Jesus to Martha, whose brother was buried and about to be raised. And then Jesus turned and said, do you believe this? Paul prays that the eyes of your heart may be opened to see what he's already given you and not lose sight of his blessings. Paul asks the Galatian believers, he says to them, what happened to all your joy? They'd been conned. The world had conned them and had lost their joy. Who cut it on you? Who cut in on you? You're running such a good race. What happened? It is possible to have God's blessings and to neglect them. It's possible to be rich and still live like a pauper. All we have to do is neglect and ignore our riches. How sad it is when God has blessed us and yet we live without those blessings. in the war between the US and Japan in 1942, both sides were losing ships, and it resulted in massive loss of casualties. And the US had developed the radar, but few captains knew how this technology worked. Some captains, incredibly, ordered that their radars be turned off, fearing the Japanese might find their positions. However, Admiral Lee was based in USS Washington, and he was what you would call today a techno head. He studied the use of nighttime radar way before it began, before the war began. In fact, it was joked that he knew more about how the radar worked than the radar operators. This gave his battleship an incredible edge, and he single-handedly warded off a massive Japanese attack. All the other ships with the same technology, but they were unaware of the importance and relied on what they knew best. And many of them sank. Thousands were killed because of their ignorance. When we lose sight of what the incredible package God has given to you, we fret and we worry. We complain and we grizzle. When we forget God's blessings, we return to what we're comfortable with. We seek the world's praise, the world's accommodation. And we're not content with the Lord's bounty. We feel defeated and angry. We grow tired of doing good. And we blame God, or we blame the Christian faith for our lack of joy. And that's why the Apostle Paul prays that the eyes of your heart may be opened to see the hope to which God has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance. But then, friends, we come to one of the most frustrating aspects of the Christian faith, the third prayer. It's when we know what we need to do, but we constantly fail. We fail and we get frustrated and feel like giving up. We try and try and try, but friends, we try in our own strength. The apostle's third prayer is this. He prays in verse 19 that we may know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. He prays for God's incomparably great power for you and me. When I hear believers say, oh, I could never do that. I could never share I could never do this. I want to say, you are absolutely right. You can never do that. There is nothing in you or me that can carry that load. Paul says, who is sufficient for this great task? But God can do it through you. God can do anything through you. When Moses was called by God to deliver his people from Pharaoh, from Egypt, Moses looked at himself in the mirror and said, who am I that I should do this? And the Lord does not say to Moses, come on, Moses, stop being so negative. Where's your can-do spirit? You need to believe in yourself. You need to reach into your inner energy and release your power. He doesn't say that. The Lord says to him, you're right, you are nothing, but I'll go with you. I'll go with you. For once a person is connected with Christ, they not only get wisdom and understanding to know the truth about life and eternity, they not only get the glorious inheritance that can never spoil or perish, that no one can take away, but they are also connected to God's great power. The Jewish leaders noticed this power and wisdom in the disciples. We read in the book of Acts when Peter got up and spoke, and the Jewish leaders went, what? These guys have changed. And it says that they recalled that they had been with Jesus. That transformation happened because they were connected with Christ. Paul here struggles to find the appropriate words to describe God's power. He uses four different adjectives. His incomparably great power that is like a mighty strength. That's as close as you can get. And it's available, he says, for you. What confidence there is. What hope. And it's all based, Paul says, on the present reign of the Lord Jesus, who's far above all rule and power and authority, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. He sits on his throne, ruling at the moment, and he gives his people power. Today, I love to see people's passion. People have passion for sport or for hobbies and gadgets, and, you know, for anything that drives them. But we must never allow these passion to overflow from our base beliefs. We must never allow these to overshadow the excitement we ought to have for the Lord Jesus. I remember a Christian writing about watching E.T. He said at the end of E.T. he was bawling his eyes out because E.T. died. And he said, here I am, I've watched E.T. die, a fictional movie, and yet every Good Friday or every Easter I can watch the death of Christ and have no emotion at all. When we were rebels, God opened our eyes to see this wretchedness of our own situation. We saw our helplessness, we cried for help, and God delivered us. It was Peter, the fisherman, who said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You don't want to have anything to do with me. This time, as believers, the Lord has opened our eyes to see his glorious inheritance. And as adopted children enter into their family home for the very first time, they're overwhelmed. They look around. 6 bedrooms, wow. It's all for me. They're overwhelmed not only by the love of their family, but all the blessings they now see. And sometimes it takes them a long time to get used to this. They've got to keep telling themselves, this is part of my family. This is my inheritance. As we ponder this passage today and consider these 3 prayers, help. We need to ask God to help us not to aim too low. What are we praying for? Are we praying for things like this? Sometimes our prayers are way too low. Let us raise our expectation, ask God for greater things which are eternal, which are glorious. Let us pray that we may know Jesus better. What a great prayer. Let us pray that we may know and appreciate all that he's called us to, that we may be aware of his great power at work in you and me today for all who believe. May the Spirit of God, who knows how easily we forget and how easily we are distracted, may he remind us today of the Father's love. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so in him we might become the righteousness of God. The price is paid. We need to revel in the joy. May your joy and your excitement for the eternal, may that be far greater than your joy and excitement for the dust of this world. He who has an ear, let him hear. Let us pray. Father, I